Well, Pastor Paul is sick. I don't know what he's got, but he got it last night. It was so bad, I went to the living room. How's that? I just left him. Left him in the bedroom. It's like, you're on your own, buddy. I did pray for him, it's like, you know. And this morning, he was still in bed, and I went in there, and I thought, you know what? I'm tired of this. So I went in there and laid hands on him again. So praise God. But God is good. And, of course, this morning I didn't realize that he wasn't going to be well enough to come tonight because usually he can snap out of things, but this time he didn't. So as I was studying on what I was going to do, it's like all of a sudden the Holy Spirit changed it. So this is a changed word for you tonight. I enjoyed getting it, though. Praise God. Father, I want to thank you tonight. I thank you that your anointing is here, Father. Lord, the praise and worship team, I thank you for the anointing, Father. Lord, your word tells us that each one of us has an anointing from the Holy One. I want you to put your hand on yourself and say, I'm anointed. I am an anointed person. I am an anointed person. Glory to God. I won't doubt my anointing anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us tonight. Well, now listen, I have a little different kind of a word because this went to a total different direction, but this is one thing I wrote this down. It came to me real quick. We want instant everything in the church. And I don't know if as pastors, I thought about this and I told God, I said, well, God, if Paul and I are guilty of this, please forgive us. I don't know if we've taught people enough that maybe we have made them dependent upon us as pastors. I'm talking to pastors. I want to see a church, not just this church or the church. I want to see where you can be delivered by yourself. Now, I know you've got the book I'm reading too, but that's not what this came from. This came out of the Holy Spirit. We want people to lay hands on us and cast out everything. We want the pastor to cast out the flesh. Pastors can't cast out the flesh. You have to get rid of the flesh. So this is a growing up word tonight, and it might sound a little bit strong, and that's just what the Lord gave me, because it's time that we got ourselves straight. It's time we grew up, put our big girl and big girl underwear on, took off our training pants, because most of us have been wearing training pants for 25 years. It's time to take them off, dispose of them, throw the rest of them away, and put you on a pair of girl panties and boy panties, okay? It's time in the spirit to grow up, and God wants us to do that. It's time for us to wake up out of the sleep that we've been in. My first scripture, I want us to go there. I have a few, but not a lot. Isaiah 52. I love Isaiah. How many of you love Isaiah? You know, there's a lot of people. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I have people tell me now the Old Testament, you know, we're not under the law. I know that we're not under the law. But if you take out all the Old Testament and the Old Testament that's in the New Testament, you don't have much left. Because, see, I've been seeing a lot of the word that in the New Testament that Paul was referring to back from the Old Testament. They lived under the Old Testament. The Old Testament's all they had. So we can't get rid of any of it. We know they're saved by grace. And Kristen, I loved your testimony, honey. I love it because, you know, I pray a lot. God, don't leave me stupid. Because I call it stupid when you get in something and can't get out of it. But sometimes we can't get out of it ourselves. You know, it's not the pastor that's going to lay hands on us and get us out of it. It's the grace of God that's going to help us to get out of it. It's the grace of God. Listen, I believe in the grace of God, but I don't take it to extremes because I love the Lord my God with all of my heart. And I'm trying to love him even more with all of my flesh and all of my soul, everything that's in me. Because he's been so good to me. He has been so good to me. If God never does another thing for me or my husband or my family, he's done it. He's done it. We're grateful. We've got to be grateful. So God is a good. God is good. God is good. He says, wake up, and put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter. For thus says the Lord, you sold yourselves for nothing, and you shall redeem yourself without money. Whew. Glory to God. Isn't God good? Well, I read that. I have read that a lot of times, and I've even taught on it before. But today, as I was reading it, it was like the Holy Spirit was just like giving me something totally new. And I realized there's some steps here, and we've got it just a little. It sounds like he's got a little bit mixed up, but here's the steps I took. We're supposed to wake up, shake ourselves, loose ourselves, arise, put on our strength, put on our beautiful garments, and you have to do it. The pastor can't scream it off you. He can't shake it off you. He can't slap it off you. He can't lay his hands on you and cast it off you. He says here, he says to here, rise. He says, wake up. Wake up, first of all, church. Wake up, person. And I will tell you, the Lord spoke to me sitting over there twice tonight. There is some brokenness in this place tonight, and God is going to heal the brokenness. I don't know who you are, if there's more than one or two of you, but God is going to heal brokenness. And the word was he's going to make you whole. Okay, so praise God. But first of all, we want to wake up. We want to wake up from where we're at, the sleepiness that we're in. And you know, when you wake up, I have a hard time waking up sometimes. When I wake up, I don't always get straight up. It takes me a little bit of time to get all that drowsy off. Now, Paul, he wakes up, he gets right out of that bed and goes. But me, I'm like, I lay there and I toss and turn, try to wake up, you know. And then I get up, and when I'm up, I'm up. But he says, wake up. What have we put on us? What is on us that keeps us asleep? What is it of the world that puts us to sleep? I was reading something today that, about religion, because I don't like that word. But religion compromises to the world. Not salvation, but religion compromises to the world. Are we trying to compromise to the world? Are we living a half-holy life? You know, I know that we can be holy because the Bible says be holy as God is holy. And that doesn't mean you will never make a mistake. That means every day you're doing your best to be holy and righteous like God is, because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to wake up. I'm going to open up my eyes and see what's going on. You know, we've been praying for the nation and the church, not just the nation, to open the eyes of the people so they can see. Well, God is opening the eyes of the church. The church has got to rise up and be the church again, because we haven't been the church in so long. That's the reason the world's in the condition it is. Yeah, that's right, Mark. Now, I'm going to sort of scatter here, so you all bear with me. Joel 3. Now listen, I did write some verses down here. How do I wake myself up and stir myself up? See, wake up here, wake up in the Hebrew here means to stir up. So that means when you wake up, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to stir yourself up. When I read that, I thought, my Lord, how many people have I had prayed for? God, stir them up. It doesn't say here, God, stir them up. It says, you stir yourself up. See, we're waiting on God to do so much that he's waiting on us to do. And if when we ever realize that he's waiting on us, can you see what's going to happen in the church? It's going to turn around, because he's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. He's waiting on us to cast out devils. He's waiting on us to stir ourselves up. And David had to do that a lot. David said over in, I won't go there, but Psalms 42, 5 and 11, he says, oh soul, why are you so cast down? He talked to himself. Then he says, I'll put my hope in the Lord. I know what I'll do. I'll put my hope, my eyes are upon the Lord. He stirred himself up. He stirred himself up more times than once. And then over in Psalms 103, 1 through 4, he says, oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Now he's stirring himself up. Oh my soul, he's saying, David, that's what his soul means, his whole body, his life. David will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord with all of my heart. I will sing praises unto him. And he says, because the Lord has forgiven me all of my iniquities. He has healed me of all of my diseases. He has delivered me from all destruction. He has crowned my life with loving kindness and mercy, and satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I'll stir myself up in the Lord. I won't lay down and crawl around and cry and whine and go calling everybody on the telephone and ask them to pray for me, because I just can't get out of this. It's time that we stirred ourselves up. If we stir ourselves up, then Joel 3 through 9 through 14 will be easy. It says, proclaim among the nations, prepare for war. Wake up, mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Now listen. Now he says, "You beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come all ye nations and gather around. Cause your mighty ones to go down unto the Lord." Because in verse 13 he says, "Put the sickle in, for the harvest is ripe. Come down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow and the wicked is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near, and the valley of decision is right here and now." If we don't wake up, if we don't stir ourselves up and become the mighty men of war, we'll not see revival. Now, if I read this right and I understand it right, before the great harvest here in this word, we're going to have to turn our plowshares into swords. We're going to have to get the word of God coming out of our mouth as a sword. You know, the word says over in Revelations that Jesus came with a sword out of his mouth. That word of God is a sword. It's a two-edged sword. It's sharp and it's piercing. So we have got to have the word coming out of our mouth. We got to shake ourselves, stir ourselves up with the word of God. I will bless the Lord. You know, over in Psalms, there's 768 times David says, "I will, I will, I will." But see, we're saying, "You do it, you do it, you do it. Oh, please do it. I can't do it. I'm so weak, and I'm so weary, and I'm so depressed." Oh God, we can get out of depression if we'll stir ourselves up, if we will remember what the Lord has done for us. For he has been so good. He has supplied. How many of you are living in a tent tonight or living on the street? None of you. How many of you have a car? You came in a car. You didn't walk or hitchhike. How many of you didn't eat today? None of us. We have more than we need probably, but we forget. We forget. Every time we get down, we forget all the good that God's done for us, and we can only see the bad, but we won't stir ourselves up by remembering the word. We have to stir ourselves up and remember the word. And when we will stir ourselves up and we will rise up like mighty men and women of the Lord, and we begin to speak the word, we will use the sword of the word of the Lord as a weapon against the enemy of our lives and the enemy of our families, we'll see a harvest. But until we rise up, we stir ourselves up, we can keep on praying and praying and praying for revival, but we're going to have to do something before the multitudes become to make a decision. The word of God, the kingdom of God has got to be preached, and we've got to stir ourselves up and let the kingdom of God come out of us. Then we'll see the harvest. The harvest is not going to just walk in here one day, or our church, or reconciliation, and say, "Oh, guess what? The harvest is here." How many of us would be ready for a harvest the way we live sometimes, the way we get down? We mollygrub, I call it. We murmur and we complain. We find fault with everything, and we're not stirring ourselves up. We're wanting somebody else to pump us up all the time. We go to church maybe once a week, and then we want to get pumped up, and the pastor preaches a good hot sermon, and we amen, yes, 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 and by the time we get home, we forgot it because we won't stir ourselves up or remember the word that the Lord preached that day. The word, we won't even get in the word and remember what he says he's due for us. We won't do like David. "I will rejoice in the Lord and be glad. I will lift up my voice. I will enter into your gates with thanksgiving and praise." Oh, he said, "I will, I will. I will remember the word. I will remember the Lord my God. He is my banner. He is, he is, he is, he is, he is." He remembered, he remembered. But if you remember, though, a lot of times David would murmur and complain. But at the end, he would say, "I will. But I will. But I will." You can complain, you can murmur, but then you better say, "But I will. But I will stir myself up. I will remember the goodness of God." When it was so bad, one time David said, "Oh, if it had not been for the goodness of the Lord, I don't know where I would be." So he remembered, he did. And now, number two, we have to shake ourselves from the dust. Now, we've woke up, we've stirred ourselves. We've said, "I will." We've got the word of God coming out of us. Now we've remembered. We've remembered who we are. Now we got to shake off the dust of the things that have come upon us. The dust there means the earth. So we have got to shake ourselves of the things of the earth, the things that are holding us down, the whole things that have come upon us. We got to shake off the grieving. We got to shake off what was and what was not, what should have happened and what didn't happen. We got to shake it off, shake it off, shake it off, because you can stir yourself up, but if you don't shake that stuff off, it'll get you down again before you can get up. So you rise up, you stir up yourself by remembering what the Lord has done and speaking, and you worship Him and praise Him. If we don't worship in the Lord, the rocks will cry out, and I don't want a rock, and I got a lot of rocks on my land, and I tell you what, if they start crying out, there'll be a lot of noise there, and I don't want rocks crying out for me. I want to lift up my hands and my voice to the Lord my God, because He is good, He is good, and He is good all the time. But I've got to shake myself of all the things that have happened to me in the past. Kristen shook herself. She got shook. Some things shook off of her, so she shook herself, and we've got to shake ourselves. Now, listen, everything that I'm going to go through here, you have to do it yourself. You can't get to hold to the pastor and say, shake it off of me, because he cannot. This is time that the church began to know how to deliver itself, because if we don't deliver ourselves, we'll never get someone else delivered. You can't do what you don't have, and you can't give what you don't have. So if we don't have deliverance in us, we're not going to give it. So we got to shake off all the stuff that is dragging us down, holding us down. Because if you listen, we don't want to be walking around. I wrote this down. Kind of sounds crazy, but the Word of God says we're the head and not the tail. But if we're the tail, we'll be dragging around in the mud. How many of you have seen a animal that's tail? We used to have cows when I was at home, and then me and Paul and I raised cows too. But if you got a cow that had a very long tail, it would drag in the mud and in the manure. If you're the head, then hold yourself up like you're the head. Otherwise, you're going to be the tail dragging around in the manure of life. And the church is not supposed to do that. So we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're blessed coming in and we're blessed going out. Stir up yourself. Loose yourself from your bonds. Break every yoke that is upon you that is not of God. Because God said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if you got a yoke upon you tonight and it's not light, it's not of God. Because God's yoke is light. And I read that one day and I looked at that and I looked at some commentaries, and I'm telling you what, it was so awesome. The men that made the yokes, those that really cared for their animals, they would make those yokes and they would just rub them out till they were smooth, and that made it easy on the oxen. But those that were cruel would just cut them out, and they would be rough, and they would hurt the oxen. So God is like that. He smooths things out for us, and He makes His yoke easy, and it's not hard. But see, when the world is upon us, when we're yoked to the things of the world, we get cut and we get bruised and we get hurt, and we don't want to do anything because we're so hurt. But God's yoke is easy. But we can break those bands. Break them, break them, break them. Paul and Silas was in prison, and they had yokes upon them. They had bonds. They had stocks. And there they were in that midst of that prison. They were beaten and bloody, and they began to worship and praise the Lord really quietly because they didn't want to disturb the rest of the prisoners. So they were just like Paul said to Silas, let's just do this quietly now so that we don't offend anybody, because they had some pretty deep criminals in there. They were in the deepest, worst part of the jail. But I don't believe they said that. The Word of God says they sang out loud. They were in pain. See, they were getting ready. They had waked themselves up. They had stirred themselves up. They had shook off because they were bloody, but now they were shaking it off as best they could. Now they were going to break the bonds that they were in. They began to worship and praise the Lord. They sang, the Word says, and they worshiped and they prayed. And the prisoners all over the prison heard them. And that worship broke the bonds of not only them, but those around them. And when you begin to wake up, you do these steps, and you begin to break the bonds by the praise and the worship that you do. Let me tell you something. We saw this Wednesday night. We prayed for someone, and I'm telling you, it was like stand up and begin to give God thanks, and things began to break off. Did we break them off? No, the praise of God broke them off. And that's what it takes. When you come in here, Whether you like to worship and praise or not, you better get yourself ready before you hit those doors. And I'm telling you, my congregation, make yourself ready before you hit the doors of church. You enter into worship and praise. And you know what? If you can't sing what they're singing or it's different or something, just worship and praise the Lord anyway. Just worship Him because He's so good and He is so worthy. Break off those things that are holding you down because you don't want them to hold you back. You don't want that captivity. Yeah, go ahead.
Y'all agree with me. There's a young man that was here tonight and had a panic attack. And before I knew it, they done called the ambulance, okay? So they're already here. But I know that that is not God. The spirit of fear is not God. So, Lord, we proclaim freedom for this young man. And I perceive it's witchcraft. In Jesus' name, we break the spirit of witchcraft right now, God. We break every curse, every spell, every incantation, every destruction rituals, word curses be broken. Peace come in Jesus' name. Fear, you have to leave. You have to leave and go in the mighty, say in the mighty name of Jesus. We proclaim the blood of Jesus on Scott right now in the name of Jesus. Your precious blood that breaks every yoke, every bondage, and let Him breathe freely right now, Lord.
Yeah, Lord, right we speak now, to that Lord. Spirit. It's a spirit. Spirit of fear, we bind you up in the name of Jesus, and we forbid you to operate Jesus. Against Scott's mind anymore and Jesus. Against his nervous system in Jesus' name. We release the peace of God and the kingdom of heaven release. We release it now over Scott, into Scott, and he would rise up out of this in Jesus' name and be set free from the powers of darkness in the name of Jesus, and we declare it. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, see, when there are people that cannot set themselves free, we have to be able to. You know, it's we as believers that have been around a while, we should be the ones that are teaching the others how to be free. Because even Paul said it one time. He said, you know what? It's time that you was able to teach somebody, but you still need to be taught. You're still babies. What's wrong with you, people? I mean, that's what he, you know, I'm sure he probably didn't say that, but what's wrong with you? Then after we break our bonds, you know, then we've got to arise. Get up and begin to declare and decree the word of God over your life. Oh, hallelujah. Job says, whatsoever a man shall agree and decree, it shall come to be. You decree and declare the word of God. You're not declaring. Now, let me tell you something. You're not declaring something you just picked out of the air. You're not declaring something that the pastor said. You declare the word of God. The word of God. If the pastor or another prophet gave you a word, then do like Paul said to Timothy, do a good warfare with that prophetic word. Because he told him, he said, do a good prophetic word, a good warfare with your prophetic word, but begin to decree the word of the Lord over your life and over your family. I'm telling you, the word of God will never let you down. The word of God will never let you down, because he says the word is tested and tried and pure, and it is settled forever in heaven. You will never change the word of God. It's settled once and for all. It's done. It's done. It's done. And the only reason it doesn't work in your life is you're double-minded. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We got two mindsets. One is today I'm okay and tomorrow I don't know. Today I'm good because I feel good and everything looks good. Tomorrow they gave me bad words, so I don't know if it's ever going to happen or not. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. If it be your will, double-minded, double-minded, double-minded. You got to say single minded all the time and believe the word of God, whatever it says, whatever the circumstance, because God will come through for you if you will trust Him. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I tell you, Paul and I could tell a lot of stories, but that's just not the thing to do all the time, how God has come through for us and made way for us when there was no way, when nobody knew but us and Paul and God that we needed a way made, and He made the way because we wasn't going around begging and whining and telling everybody, you know how bad it is in our lives. We, if you want to say toughed it out by ourselves, we toughed it out with God by ourselves, and He worked it out, praise God. And I believe that we should do that a lot of times instead of begging around on the church. Okay, let's go on. Everybody say, go on. Okay. Put on your strength. Put on. Now listen. When you put on something, you got to take something off. You got to take off some weak and beggarly things of the world, because you are not going to put that beautiful garment of praise over the dirty. See, even God said, I don't like your worship and praise because it's dirty. Let's take off that dirty garment. Let's take off that dust. Let's get all those yokes and all those bondages off of us, and let's don't try to put on our beautiful garment of praise over that, because that's our strength. Our praise is our strength, because he even said, I ordain praise out of the babes to be their strength. So strength, your praise, your worship unto God is your strength. When you feel weak and you feel down, begin to worship the Lord. You say, but I don't feel like it. That's when you better do it. That's when you better do it. When you don't feel like it, that's when you better lift up your hands and you better lift up your voice. And if you can't think of a song, then you make up a song. You ought to hear me sometime in my house. If Paul, you know, I tell him all the time, God gave him me so I could keep him surprised at what's going to go on, because he never knows what's going to go on. Because I can remember a tune to a song and can't remember the words, then I make up. Faith is like that too. I just make up my words to the Lord. But I sing to the Lord, because I tell you what, I made up my mind some time ago, I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm not going to just be a Sunday morning worshiper. If you can only worship on Sunday morning, there ain't nothing in you. Ooh. Oh, yeah, I think I better go on. I don't want to beat you. Well, you be one of the broken ones that's healed. How's that? Praise God. Put on our strength. Well, I tell you what. If we go over now real quickly, because we got a little bit. We put on our strength and put on our beautiful garments. So we got to put them. We got to take off. Put them on. Don't let us. Somebody else can't do it for you. Now, if you're a baby, maybe you can have to have help. But I don't see too many baby Christians. Now, these kids here, they might need some explaining, but they've been sitting in this church long enough. Some of them, I've seen some of these little girls grow up from babies. So, you know, it's just like the other day I was out at the mechanic, and I was talking to one of the bus drivers, and he said, well, do you know her very well? I said, oh, gosh, I knew that little brat when she was little in church. You know, he's like, what? I said, oh, yeah, I saw her grow up in church at the log cabin, so she's not new to me. It's like, so, but anyway, you see, so we've seen some of these little brats, and I don't mean that in a bad way, grow up. So maybe they still need some help, but we got to take off some things. You know, we got to take off the worldliness. We got to take off some fleshliness. And I got to do it too. When I say we, I mean us all. Because this is time that we begin to put on the beautiful garments of praise to show forth the praise and the glory of God. And I was shocked one day this week, and I told the church last Sunday, when I was reading over in Peter, where the spirit of glory has already come upon us. The spirit of glory, Paul said, Peter was saying to the church, the spirit of glory is already upon you. My goodness, we've been saying, let the Lord, glory just come down. Well, why don't we get ourselves cleaned out? I was reading today from a man that said he'd been begging God for more. Just give me more power. Just give me more power, God. And God told him to be quiet. So he just said, okay, I'll be quiet. He said, if you clean your life out, you got all the power you need. So he said, I didn't ask for no more power. So clean yourself up, and the power that's in you will flow out. So that's where we're at. You know, this is what these scriptures are saying here for us, to clean ourselves out and let us get ourselves delivered by the power of the Holy Ghost, so that we can be a deliverer. They're supposed to be deliverers to rise up in Zion. Deliverers rise up in Zion. That's the church. Now let's go to Isaiah 61. I love this. It's a beautiful, we're going to read the whole chapter. Well, I don't want to, let's see, who was it? We had a minister, maybe somebody that's back there can help me remember this. Harold Andrews used to say, the hour is long, the night is short. Is that right? How was that? One of you all. He was a black minister, so black. I got to tell you this. He was so black, he was black. I mean, he was about as black as her shirt. We had never seen him. This was one of those things where Faith and Daryl knew him from Michigan, and Paul called him and asked him to come. He was a prophet. And he lost Paul's phone number. So we just figured, well, it's your will, God. Well, he called Paul out of nowhere. I mean, it was months. And he said, well, I was on the floor praying. And he said, and I looked, there was this piece of paper. He said, and it had your phone number on it. So he called, and Paul said, well, we invite you, and we set a date. Well, Terry's mother, everybody in the church knew he was black. So funny. She came in, and she said, nobody had ever seen him, but we knew he was black. So if he'd be the only black man there, we knew it would be him. Because we had no black people at that time. We don't yet, but we believe in for them. Praise God. We really are. She says, walks over to me, is he here yet? I said, Ann, look around. Do you see any black man here? No. I said, well, then he's not here yet. That's just a little extra. Praise God. It was so funny. Little extra. Okay, let's go. I love this. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And the Word says, because there. And I like to say it this way. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me for this reason. For this reason. He's anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And then we stop right there, because that's all the farther we want to go. But look what this next verse says. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now, let me tell you something. If we don't get a hold of Isaiah 54 back there, or 52, and get ourselves awake, cleaned up, and put on the garments of praise, we will never be able to do this. We love to say, I'm anointed to preach the gospel, set the captive free, to heal the brokenhearted, la da 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 da. But we forget to remember that we are supposed to give the oil of joy for mourning. If you have no joy in you because your life is as messed up as the world or the next person's, and if you don't stir yourself up, like we just said, you've got to do all those steps back there. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. And I'm telling you, every step that you take, God will take one closer to you. So whatever you do for God, toward God, he'll cause it to increase. So if you increase as you take those steps. But I'm telling you what, if we do not let the joy of the Lord that is in us begin to come out, we'll never be joyful enough for someone to want the joy. We'll never give joy. Because I tell you what, there is a scripture, and you can write this down and go home and look at it yourself. Psalms 5, 11 and 12 says, let those that trust in the Lord be joyful. Those that trust in God rejoice. Then he says in the 12th verse, those that trust in the Lord, those that rejoice, the favor of the Lord shall be a shield upon them. And I read that this week, and I tell you, I told my brother, the Lord revealed to me that the reason the favor of God is not upon a lot of Christians is they're murmuring and complaining. They're down in the mouth. They have no joy. The joy of the Lord will cause you to have favor. You see people that are highly favored, they're joyous people. And there's so many Christians walking around declaring, I'm the favor of the Lord is upon me, but all you can do is murmur and complain and find fault. You never give the Lord praise. You never rejoice with the word. You are so down and out, and people come up to you and it's just, you don't have anything good to say. You never rejoice, and you're never glad about anything. No matter if you won the lottery, you probably wouldn't be joyful because you'd be broke in 2 years anyway. So there you go. So why have any joy? You better not be playing the lottery, had they? So, but I'm just telling you. But we've got to get the joy of the Lord back. There's the oil of joy in us. That oil should come out of us. It should bubble up. You know, and Isaiah says that with the wells, with joy, we'll draw from the wells of salvation. There is so much to have and joy in our lives. And he didn't say you would just draw from the well. You will draw from the wells of salvation. You will draw from that well of healing, that well of deliverance, that well of prosperity, that well of safety, the well of the Word of God. You will draw from the wells with the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord will bring that out of you. And when it comes out of you, it'll spill out and it'll ooze off onto somebody else, and then it'll ooze off. And it'll ooze off. The church should be the most joyful people in the world. It's time for us to get joyful. Then he says, and put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Well, if you don't take off that heaviness and put that garment on, listen, in one the back there in Isaiah where it was talking about taking off and putting on the garment of praise, that garment back there is the same garment. Some of you that kind of coming. Commentary, it's the same garment that the priest, the bridegroom would put on. It's a priestly garment. I didn't realize this till this today. When they were getting married, the bridegroom would actually put on the robes like a priest and a golden crown to look just like the high priest. Now, that's the kind of garment we're to put on. And see, God made us a kingdom of priests and kings unto himself. So we have got to get the joy of the Lord back in our lives. Does that mean you're always going to be jumping and bubbling and screaming? No, but you can be joyous. Your joy has nothing to do with what's going on outside you. Your joy comes from the Lord inside you, knowing what God has done, knowing what he is doing, knowing that the Word of God is true, knowing that the promises of God are coming to pass in your life. Ooh, hallelujah. Then they'll be called. See, when we do all that, then the ones that we're spilling off on, the ones we're spilling off on, they'll be called the trees of righteousness. They'll be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall build the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations. Wow, church, we got some things to do, don't we? And they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons and foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you, now this is you, but you shall be named the priest of the Lord. And you shall be the servants of God. And you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast instead of your shame. If we want to get rid of the shame and have double for our trouble, then we're going to have to rejoice. We're going to have to put on those garments, get off the dust, break off the bands, rise up, stir ourselves up. Instead of confusion, they'll have rejoiced in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double everlasting joy. Everybody say everlasting joy. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Hallelujah. Now, I'm just going to read the rest of it. For I am the Lord. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery. For burnt offerings, I will direct their work in truth and will make them with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. Oh, look what you can do for your children and your spiritual children. Oh, my goodness. They'll look at them and say, that's the posterity. That's my children that are blessed. Well, because of the Lord. Because of what's in your life. Because you decided to do it. And says, I will greatly. Now here's another I will. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. Now where's our joy coming from? From the Lord. And we're going to be joyful in the Lord. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Here we go. This is where it's at. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Right here. We are created in God's image. We are made priests and kings unto him. Praise God. And we have the authority of the king and the rights of the priest to come in to the Holy of Holies and to make intercession for other people. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to come forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Glory to God. Let's stand up and let's give the Lord a joyous praise. Hallelujah. You shout, you clap your hands, you say something, do something. Father, thank you. You are so good and so awesome all the time. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness and your mercy, Lord. Thank you that you're faithful all the time, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord, that you show it to me daily in the land of the living, Lord. Thank you that you daily load me with good benefits, Father God. Thank you that you're not withholding any good thing from me. Wealth and riches are in my house. Glory to God. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Praise you, Lord. You're my exceedingly great reward. You're the Lord. You're the shepherd of my life. Hallelujah. You restore my soul. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're the strength of my life. Hallelujah. You're my everything. You're my El Shaddai. Hallelujah. You're more than enough. You are more than enough. Glory to God. Oh, I will rejoice and be glad in you. Glory to God. For you have healed all my diseases. You have forgiven me of all my iniquities. Glory to God. You have delivered me from all destruction. Crowned me with loving kindness and mercy. Glory to God. You have anointed me. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 You are my righteousness. Glory to God. You are my sanctification. You are my justification and my redeemer. Glory to God. And you have accepted me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shorabakarabakayatai. Hey, Lamak, stir yourself up in your prayer language. Hey, Labashetarabasokorabakeyatorabaseyatai. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. David said, how can I stay silent? Because when I'm silent, my bones dry out. Oh, shut up. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, you're so good and you're so mighty. Hallelujah. 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 Would you two come here? Shut up. Stretch out your hands. The only word I get for them is they're going to a new level. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You don't believe it or you're ready for it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. She receives it.